chapter 4. The setting of 1 Peter is Roman persecution of God's people. Historically, as we've pointed out before, it would be the persecution led by Nero against God's people. It was a time when God's people were arrested, they were driven from their homes, experienced the loss of material possessions, constantly faced with the threat of death for the cause of Christ. Again, Nero, of course, dipped the bodies of God's people in tar and burned them as torches to give light to his gardens. We know that historically. Many were tied to chariots and dragged through the streets of Rome until they were dead. Some were thrown to lions. Some were put in leather bags and cast into rivers and so on. But it was at this time that countless Christians died horrific deaths. So it was a time, if you were identified as a Christian, persecution was inevitable. Death was everywhere. So without a doubt, it was a time of great turmoil, perhaps intimidation. And throughout the book of Peter, Peter makes mention of their adverse circumstances. He refers to temptations, he refers to attack, he refers to opposition, slander, reproach, satanic activity. Peter is writing to those who were living through all of this, and these situations were increasingly worsening. As a result, their lives were filled with trial, filled with difficulty. There were a lot of obstacles, a lot of sorrow. They were in the midst of a very threatening storm. Their everyday lives had been turned upside down. Peter writes to encourage these individuals. He does so by reminding them of the glories and the experience of their salvation. He does so by reminding them of the price paid for their redemption, and that they were, by the grace of God, a very special people in God's eyes, with very special privileges. So throughout the book, he's calling upon them to focus upon the blessings of salvation, and that the Lord, in his grace, had made a radical difference in their lives. He also writes to instruct them, to live lives evidencing what the Lord had done in their lives. So that's the setting. We'd like to read verse 10 and verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4. And every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter addresses God's people as individuals in this book, but he also addresses them corporately as a church body. He addresses them as connected, as identified with one another, as a body of Christ. Now, In verse 8, he's addressing them as a church body. He says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And then in verse 9, use hospitality one to another. And then he continues that thought in verse 10. But we notice there, among yourselves, one to another. So it's individual, but it's related to the church body. It's for the benefit of the church body. To show that he's also speaks of them corporately as a church, in chapter 5, he gives some instruction to those who hold the office of the elders. So in our text, keep in mind, he's speaking to individuals, but individuals identified with one another in a church body. He speaks upon the subject here in our text of spiritual gifts and how they are to be exercised in the church body. In speaking of spiritual gifts, he's speaking of God-given potential. In verse 10, as every man hath received the gift. Verse 11, as of the ability which God giveth. The gift is an ability. An ability to do something. And every child of God has it. So it is a God-given potential. And that's our subject. Living up to our spiritual potential. I don't think any of us realize the spiritual potential that we have. And then you take those individuals and you put them together in a church body. And the church has unbelievable spiritual potential. So let's consider, first of all, the bestowal of these gifts. There are several words in our text that ought to get our attention. Every man hath received. Every man hath received. And then we see the words, the gift. We read the words, even so minister the same one to another. So the purpose of the gift is to minister to one another. Also, we see the words, good stewards. We see the words, the manifold grace of God. We see that phrase in verse 11, do it as of the ability which God giveth. And then we read that God in all things may be glorified. Reading the verses, the subject is spiritual gifts, but the emphasis of the subject is exercising the gift in the Lord's service. So the subject is a gift from God. The emphasis of the subject is using what God has given us. Now, notice the text opens, verse 10, with that adverb, as. Very small word, very important word. It expresses, here it's an adverb, so it would express the extent of an act or the degree of an act. And it goes on to say, as every man, talking to saved people, each individual hath received. That is, we've obtained something. We've been given something. The gift. Every one of us has a gift. talking to the saved. The Greek word for gift is the word charis. It's the word, the same word that we would get our English words charisma and charismatic. That's where the word comes from, gift. The gift speaks of a talent, speaks of an ability, an aptitude, a capacity, and an endowment. And in this case, it is spiritual in nature. God has given each and every one of us that are saved a talent that is spiritual in nature. He has given each one of us an ability that is spiritual in nature. He has given each one of us a capacity that is spiritual in nature. So the subject of spiritual gifts is a subject that immediately raises curiosity, gets people's attention. But it's also a subject filled with confusion. And sadly, amongst Baptists, because of the charismatic movement, they're scared to death of the subject. They really are. I mean, it terrifies them. Just to mention the gifts of the Holy Spirit will put a Baptist in the hospital. And therefore, it's shied away from by Baptists, for the most part. But it is a biblical subject. And despite the erroneous views of the charismatic movement, it is not a subject that we are to fear. It's a reality. God has given each one of us a gift or gifts that are spiritual in nature. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." That is, I would not have you unlearned and uninformed about spiritual gifts. Now, the subject of spiritual gifts is most extensively addressed in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14. The principal passages upon the subject would be 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. But in Romans 12 and beginning with 1 Corinthians 12, there are listings. We have three listings of spiritual gifts. You can look at these on your own. We're not going to take the time. But Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, you have a list. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11, you have a list. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 through verse 30, you have a list. Now, what we need to realize about these lists is that some of these gifts were temporary in nature. They no longer exist today. There's no reason for them. Some of them are permanent. They still exist. But whether they're temporary or permanent, they came from God. They came from God. Were bestowed sovereignly upon individuals. Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, concerning spiritual gifts, he said, "But all these," okay, referring back to spiritual gifts that he mentioned before, "worketh that one and selfsame Spirit dividing to every man," there it is again, "every man, every child of God, severally as he will." So God distributes these gifts to every child of God as he will. As he will. So if you read through the list, the three places where we have a list of spiritual gifts, you will notice or you should notice, that there are no two lists alike. They're all different. So what does that mean? Well, that would tell me that none of the lists are exhaustive. None of the lists are comprehensive, because none of them are the same. And I believe that if you combine all three of the lists together, you still do not have a comprehensive list. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 through 30, in the list you'll find one of the gifts is helps. There's a lot included in that. So again, it's not an exhaustive list, but I believe it's a representative list. It's an example. It's a sampling of spiritual gifts. And as you read through the list, you see that there is a blend of gifts. Many people can have the same gift. We have some here that have a gift to sing. Do they all sing alike? No. They have the same gift, but it's not exercised the same way. One who is called to preach, I believe, will have a gift of preaching and teaching. They have that gift. Do they all do it the same? No, they don't. There's a blend. There's a blend of gifts. They can be exercised quite differently. Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 12:5, and there are differences of administrations. Keep in mind, that's in the context of gifts. There are differences in administrations or management. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6, and there are diversities of operations or functions. Same gift, but different functions. Our text declares, as every man hath received the gift, every child of God, without exception, is God gifted. I believe that. We're not alike gifted. We don't all have the same gifts. Romans 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing, that doesn't mean that one person's gift is better than another person's. It means they're different. That's what it means. They're different. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Whatever gift we have, we got it by grace. And God distributes severally as He will. And He goes on to mention whether prophecy, and then in verse 7 of Romans 12, or ministry, or he that teacheth, and in verse 8, or he that exhorteth. The indication of all those phrases is there is a difference in gifts. They're not all the same. So yes, we are all gifted. We all have been given a talent that is spiritual in nature or can be used in a spiritual way. We all have that. But we are not all alike gifted. Some have more gifts than another. Some have one gift, but everyone has at least one gift. Some have several gifts. They all differ. Paul, speaking of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, says, now there are diversities, varieties, assortments of gifts. Acts in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, for to one is given. And then notice 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. Verse 8, we read, to one is given. Verse 9, to another. To one is given, to another, And then you go down again to another, and then the gift is mentioned. To another, the gift is mentioned. To another, gifts are mentioned. To another, and gifts are mentioned. So we see that not all are like gifted, but all have gifts. All have talent. That means all have potential. Spiritual gifts are supernaturally bestowed, supernaturally energized, and the source of these gifts, according to our text, is the manifold grace of God. That is, they are undeserved, they are unearned, and they are free. They come by the grace of God. Now, can a gift from God be developed? I most certainly think they can be. In other words, if a person is given the gift to sing, can they develop that? Can they get better at it? Well, certainly they can. If a person is given the gift to teach or to preach, can that be developed? Yes, it can. And God develops it. God develops it by things He brings into our lives and by shaping us. But my point is, we all have a gift. It's by the manifold grace of God. So think of those words. Every man hath received the gift. All the spiritual potential of a single saved person. Paul said in Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ. That's potential. I can do all things through Christ. Those words are true of every saved person. The key is through Christ. But they're true of every saved person without exception. They cover all conditions. They cover all circumstances, all times, all places, and all positions. So again, the spiritual potential of a single child of God. The same God who dwelt in Enoch and enabled Enoch to walk with God dwells within us. And we have the potential to walk with God. The same God who dwelt within Noah, enabled him to persevere in building the ark. That same God dwells in us. The same God who indwelt Abraham and Sarah, enabled them to believe in despite circumstances, that same God is in us. The same God who was with Joseph, enabled Joseph to glorify God no matter what the circumstance, no matter what turn his life took, Joseph was able to glorify God. That same God is in us. The same God who endowed Moses with meekness and courage to stand before Pharaoh. Same God is in us. The same God who dwelt with Caleb and Joshua, enabling them to believe in the very midst of unbelief. We have the same God. And on you can go. But we're gifted. And then we read, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The very same Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the grave dwells within the child of God. Oh, what potential that we have as individuals. And then the Lord takes those individuals and puts them together in a body. Oh, what potential that church body has. If every individual reached or even came close to our spiritual potential, it would be unbelievable. If 1 John 4, verse 4, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, 11, that self-same Spirit dividing to every man severally as He will. So the Spirit of God dwells within us, and that same Spirit of God hath dealt to us abilities. He's given us abilities to be used in a spiritual way. So take these who have these God-bestowed gifts, combine them together into a church body, and again, you have unimaginable spiritual potential. It's not your concern that brother so-and-so has three gifts and you have one. That's not your concern. Your concern is you use your one. And the one who has three, that they use their three. It's not a matter, again, of better gifts. It's a matter of different gifts. And the emphasis is using what God has given us. So let's consider the exercise of spiritual gifts. Again, every child of God sitting here right now, no matter what your IQ is, no matter what your background is, you have received from God spiritual gift or gifts, talents, abilities, spiritual capacity, spiritual endowment. And these are measured out by God. Ephesians 4, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And when God gave us a gift, He did so with a purpose. Everything God does is with purpose. And it is a God purpose. Again, our text, as every man hath received a gift, even so. That is, to the same extent that you've received the gift, even so minister the same gift, one to another. Talking about church capacity. Now the word minister is a word that speaks of service. It conveys the idea of tending to, caring for, looking after, attending to, helping, assisting, aiding, contributing. We are to do that to the degree that we have received the gift. That's what it says. As every man hath received, even so, let him minister one to another. So every child of God sitting here has spiritual talent, spiritual ability, spiritual capacity received from God. You may say, I can't do something as well as Dwayne, or I can't do something as well as Paula Cosner, or I can't do something, and on we can go. That's not the point. That may not be what you're supposed to do. But you do have a gift, and you're to use it. And you're to use it in the church in which God has placed you. And not to do so is sin. Plain and simple. So the gift is the tool for service. God has called every one of us to serve Him. Not all in the same way, but God has called every one of us to serve Him. And He's given us a gift. And the gift is the tool that we use in serving. It's important that we know our gift, because then we can know how we are to serve. So it's important. The gift is the tool in which we're to serve. Again, not everyone has the same gift. Some have the same gift, but it's used in different ways. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same. The ministering is the main verb here in the passage. The reason we have the gift is that we minister. That's the reason. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 4 and also 2 Corinthians 9 verse 1, there is the phrase, ministering to the saints. Ministering to the saints. And Christ, of course, is our example in ministry. Matthew 20 verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Ministry was a priority to Christ. Serving was a priority to Christ. You and I, our priority is to be to serve the one who saved us. We can do that because He's given us the tool. He's given us a gift. And besides that, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit that enables us to use the gift that God has given us. You can put a tool in the hand of someone, and that tool can be very dangerous if it's not used properly. So it is with spiritual gifts. Same thing. But it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to use the gift in a way that would bring glory to God. In John 13, Christ sets forth, of course, the example and pattern and the model of ministering when He washed the feet of the apostles. He was observant. He was willing to put Himself in a position to serve. He was humble. He was ready to stoop to do whatever was necessary. God has given us gifts, and we are to be observant, and we are to be aware of how we can use that gift, whatever it is. Some have the gift of encouragement. They can walk in a room and encourage someone. I mean, it's a gift. They don't have to say anything. They can just walk in a room and everybody's encouraged. That's a gift. Not everybody has that gift. Some have a curse. They walk in a room, as soon as they walk in, everybody's down in the dumps. But we all have a gift. And we're to be looking for opportunity to use the God-given gift. Put ourselves in a position where we can use the gift. No one person has all the gifts. I'm afraid this happens a lot of times. I'm afraid a lot of times that people look at pastors and think they ought to be doing 105 things. Well, they may not be gifted in 105 things. We each have gifts. Or a gift. In other words, we've been shaped for serving God. Shaped by God to serve Him. Shaped for serving God. And we are to exercise our spiritual gift as an expression of our love to the Lord. That's how we serve Him. By exercising our gift. Now notice in verse 10 of our text, we are to exercise our spiritual gift as good stewards, as good custodians. A steward is someone who manages what has been entrusted into their care. A steward is not the owner. Whatever gift God has given us, we don't own it. He's given it to us to use. He's lent it to us. We're not the owner, but we are the manager of what we've been entrusted with. We have been God-gifted. We're not the owners of the gift, but we have been entrusted with a gift, and we're to be good stewards. from the parable of the unjust steward, we will give an account. God has given you 10 gifts, you will give an account for 10 gifts. If God has given you one gift, you don't have to worry about the other 9 that someone else has, then you don't. You'll give an account for the one. We all have gifts, and we'll all give an account to how we used those gifts in a service. So we are told here in our text that the way we manage our giftedness is an area of stewardship. God has given each member of Home Baptist Church that are saved a gift or gifts. He then places those gifted ones within this church body. And I believe God, when He placed each one, knew exactly what the church body needed to function. And He places them, He blends them together. The designer knows what this church needs, and He's already given what it needs. He's already given it. And if everybody contributes what God has designed us to contribute, I cannot contribute what I do not have. I can't do that. I do not have a gift of singing. I can't contribute. I cannot get up here and sing a special. I don't have that gift. I cannot contribute that way. Others have that gift. And many other gifts. God has designed us to contribute. And if everybody exercises their God-given gift, the church body thrives. But again, it's the 80-20 rule. And it's very much so in most of the Lord's churches. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And that's very true. In fact, I would probably even raise it. 5% do 95% of the work. But everyone's to contribute. And to do so makes us good stewards. Members, there are some members, all they want to do is attend. And they don't even want to do that too often. They're spectators. Oh, and spectators, they're good at telling you, they're not doing anything, but they're good at telling you how you ought to do it. Go to any sporting event. You have 40,000 people that are in desperate need of exercise. And you have whatever sport you're talking about, X amount of people on the field who are in excellent shape. And these people who are out of shape are telling them how they ought to do it. The same is true in a church. They're attenders. They're spectators. Wanting only to benefit from the church. They're welfare birds. They have a welfare mentality. I'm not going to give anything. I'm not going to contribute anything. But feed me, feed me, feed me. They're not here to minister. They're here to be ministered to. That is a bad steward. If God has given you a gift and all you do is become a spectator, you are a bad steward and you will give an account. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same. If we're not a good steward, we're to be a good steward within the body. If we're not, then we impoverish the church of which we are a member. We make it worse instead of better. Every church has them. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same. Usually when we talk about stewardship, people immediately begin to think about finances. That's only one aspect of stewardship. It is an aspect, but it's only one aspect of stewardship. So take what you've been given. Utilize it in the interest of the one who gave it. That's what we're to do. That's a good steward. Paul, speaking of spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 14, said to the Corinthian church that they were zealous of spiritual gifts, and that he exhorted them to seek to excel for the edifying of the church. We're to use our gift for the edifying of the church, for the benefit of the church. We that are members of Home Baptist Church, I'm not going to assume that every member of Home Baptist Church is saved. But all the saved members of Home Baptist Church, each one has been gifted by God. Every single one. You may say, I can't do this, I can't do this, 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 and you can have a list. But I'm here to tell you there's something you can do because God has gifted you. Quit worrying about what you can't do and do what you can. Use your gift. Use your gift. The exercise of our gift should benefit the spirituality of the church. We all have a talent. We all have a gift. And the motive of using our gift, 1 Peter 4, verse 11, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. All the spiritual potential. You know, all through my school years, grade school mostly, every report card said the same thing. I'm not proud of this, but every single report card said the same thing. Danny does not work up to his capabilities. Danny shows no interest in school. All very true. But that's sad. That shouldn't be of any of us in our school years, and it certainly shouldn't be us in our spiritual years, our saved years. Yeah. We've been given capabilities, and we're to use them. We're to use them toward one another. We're to use them for the honor and glory of the Lord. Do we long to reach our spiritual potential? It's there. It's within each one of us. Even if God didn't give you a gift, He did, but let's say He didn't. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. What potential is right there? But then you add gifts to it. Combine our individual spiritual potential, and then you have the potential of church. If you're here today and a member of this church and are more of a spectator than a contributor, repent. We're in the last days. It's time that God's people got serious about serving the Lord. And I'll be honest, if this may offend some, if you can't contribute, get out of the way. Or I should say, if you won't contribute, have the decency to get out of the way. Don't bring everyone else down. But really, the solution is get right. Get right. Don't be satisfied with being a mere spectator. We have people that work very hard in the church. They do much to contribute to this body. It's their life. We thank God for them. And then there are others, and this is true everywhere. I don't think they would say they would, but their life tells a different story. I don't think it would matter to them if the doors were closed next Sunday. They might not even know it because they wouldn't be here. I'll close with this. We did mission work in Woodridge, Illinois. We met in our living room for Wednesday nights. We had a man who was a member who came occasionally, at best, maybe once every 2 months. We decided one Wednesday night that one of the other church members said, you know what, you shouldn't have to have it in your house every Wednesday. Why don't we just switch off? We'll have it one Wednesday. And I said, that'll be fine. Next day, this church member, who was not there, hadn't been there in a long time, called me infuriated because he was not consulted. I said, brother, you wouldn't know if we moved services because you're not there. And that's the truth. That is the truth. There are people who are not faithful enough. If the church were closed down for 3 weeks, they wouldn't know a thing about it. Because they didn't pull in the parking lot to find out. They're spectators. They're mere spectators. I'm not talking about people that are providentially hindered. I'm not talking about people that are sick. That's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. God help us to be contributors. And look around, the same people have been contributing for decades, and you ought to thank God for them. If you're just a spectator, don't you dare. Don't come to me and criticize someone who's been working for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Don't do that. You won't be happy. You won't be happy. Start contributing. You're a member of this body. Act like it. You're a child of God. Act like it. You have been gifted by God. Act like it. Use the gift that God has given us. And again, many here, the message does not apply other than thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for using the gift that God has given you. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.